Ascension Day must have been like a Mother's Day for Our Lady, even though she would miss her son a lot. On that day, the plan of salvation that had begun over 33 years before had finally been brought to a glorious end. Past was Simon's words, the escape into Egypt, the separation as Jesus started his public ministry. Today, I want to congratulate all mothers who, like Our Lady, have known the pain of childbirth, followed by the joy of seeing her infant. Like Our Lady, some of you may have experienced the relief of finding a lost child. Like her, some of you may also have suffered through the passion and death of a child, to be relieved gradually by the hope of his or her resurrection. Some of your children or grandchildren are graduating this month. I congratulate them also. And I want to share some advice to graduates and non-graduates alike. I hope today you give your moms a gift that counts, like a life that has found its way back to the church where you were nurtured, a life that's determined not to let sin be in control, a life that tells mom your prayers have not been in vain, a life that not only comes back home to a mother's embrace, but also to the Lord's mercy, a life that hears God's call, just like Samuel when he was told by Eli to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Many years ago, I heard a story about a naval cadet in our early Navy, and back then they had sailing warships with big masts, 20, 40 cannons, and this young cadet was told to go fix up something in the main mast. So he started going up. The seas were rough. The waves were coming, and he started getting dizzy. Somehow, the captain of the ship noticed, and he shouted, "Boy, look up." In looking up, that young man was saved. What saved him was looking away from the waves, the rough seas, putting his sights way up. Looking up, he stopped looking at the rough seas. He stopped being dizzy, and he finished this operation successfully. Today, like that young sailor, many of us are dizzy, are lost in mass confusion, need someone to tell us, "Son, daughter, look up." We're drowning in waves of confusion. Sometimes we even lose hope. In these circumstances of our daily lives, it is so comforting that the liturgical year appears, offering us a warning cry. Look up! It is the feast of the Ascension. The Ascension of the Lord, Jesus the man, who is at the same time God, rises from this earth to steer us into a path for heaven, a path of eternity. He is still the best compass in these times. Let's celebrate the Ascension of the Lord, though everything on earth seems to invite us to evade it. The Christian does not run away. Christ's life shows everyone a perspective of heaven. This criteria of eternity is the one that should guide us. So what does the church celebrate in the Ascension of the Lord? We celebrate the presence of Jesus with the Father as the ratification of his personal victory over death, over hatred, over violence, over the arrogance of the powerful, but moreover, his victory anticipates the victory of all mankind. That is the ultimate destiny of men, a destiny that is not enclosed by the narrow limits of our small planet, a destiny that is not chained to this earth. Jesus is the first man who overcomes the limitations of human nature. Christ is the first man who enters heaven to be part of that field of divinity, to fill the divide created by Adam and Eve. And in him, from the moment of his ascension, the possibilities of man have ceased to be limited. Christ's ascension is still a challenge for us. Through his ascension, Jesus is telling us, you who now have in your hands the good news, what have you done with them? Do you believe in the good news? Do you pass it on? Do you carry it to all corners of the earth as I commanded you? The ascension is not to see how Jesus goes up to heaven, but to see how we here can sow hope in this world to make his kingdom grow on earth, to accept with courage and hope the challenge that God makes us, his helpers, in the task of transforming the world. Today, the ascension of Jesus is a wonderful opportunity to fill us with joy for all that God has put in our hands and start sharing it with all men, especially with the poorest, with those who suffer most, with the most needy. Before ascending to heaven, he entrusted the church with the mission of spreading his gospel throughout the earth. He began the work of redemption and salvation. Now we are the ones who have to continue and perfect his work. The apostles went forth and preached the gospel everywhere, and he confirmed and signed their performance with signs and miracles, as we heard in the gospel. Now he is still present on earth in the church until he comes again, just as he ascended. Today's first reading invited us, along with the apostles, to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. The second reading calls him the Father of glory, who gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. What an honor for those of us who form the church. We are the fullness of Christ. We are like the complement of the God who became man and is one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are reminded of how St. Augustine, in spite of sin, felt the longing to reach out to his Creator. Why is this? He realized it was God's doing when he said, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." There is in today's world a dilemma between life and death. When Christ sent his apostles to preach his message, he said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." This is frightening, but no one is condemned by God. Man is condemned on his own. He condemns himself. She condemns herself. The man who opens himself to the message of salvation is saved because he finds the way of God and the way to God. But the man who believes he is wiser than God and rejects the commandments and the faith cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. If there is a place you enter freely, it has to be heaven. Nobody is forced into heaven. Only the one who freely wants to save himself is saved. But the one who does not want to be saved, he has to go somewhere. And Christ has said it in today's gospel: whoever does not believe will be condemned. It is God who must enlighten your eyes, your heart, to know where he really is, so you won't fall victim or be afraid of the idols that want to compete with him. But according to the same reading today, those idols are defeated by the unique and true God. Like we heard in the second reading, the Father, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, has glorified Jesus. Christ is the absolute. He is the glory. He is the way, the truth, the life. How can we throw away this treasure for the things of this earth? God follows us and enlivens us with His Spirit, which Jesus had promised the apostles in the first reading. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus has gone to heaven, but heaven, as St. Augustine says, is in God. We must not think of the ascension as the passage from one place to another, but as a change of state. The first letter of John states, those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit that he gave us. Let us search deep in our hearts, and there we will find Christ living in us and being a witness of our good acts and also of the evil that we do or the good that we do not do. This is the mystery of faith, whose knowledge and experience will make us happier than all those earthly treasures and pleasures of the world. We have faith, but the problem with some of us is not the faith we have, but the one we lack. We can say that the Feast of the Ascension invites us to have our eyes fixed on the heavens, where Christ resides at the right hand of the Father. Look up, son. That's what the captain told the cadet in the story. But the angels from heaven still stand beside us and say, men and women of Lilburn, why are you standing there looking at the sky? Your hands and your efforts on this earth still need to be doing the work of the children of God. This is your invitation to continue helping to build a civilization of love like we heard in the readings last week. As Peter tells us in his first letter, give reason for our hope to everyone who asks for it. Be men and women of hope. Be men and women of light in the midst of a world with so much darkness. Amen.